Well, how about we all read the title of this conference right in the front of your booklet? Amen. How about we all declare it together? The High Gospel. One more time. Yeah, the reason it is called the High Gospel, there are a few implications here. When you hear the word gospel, definitely it's something to do with man. The reason it is high, it is because it's related to God. If it's just man, it's not too high. You cannot be higher than God. So, just from the title itself, the High Gospel, you realize that this weekend we are covering something that is definitely related to God with His eternal purpose. And also, the gospel is something related to man. Are you man?
Yes,
we are man.
Amen.
I'm the meaning of the universe.
Amen.
Thank God that we are man. I'm proud that I'm a man. Are you proud you are a man? I hope that after this weekend, you will be even more proud that you are a man. Not just simply because you are a man, but because you are a man according to God's purpose and for God's purpose. And also this title, the High Gospel, is not something that is unattainable or just theoretical or something that just something high that is for you to learn. But the High Gospel here actually need to be applied so that we can have a kind of living, a high living that can fulfill God's purpose. Only this High Gospel can satisfy man. Then you may ask, what about just the gospel? Well, in general, when you hear the word gospel, you realize you have something in your mind that pop up. That is, we are sinners. We are under God's condemnation. We are going to, end up in a lake of fire. That's why we need someone to die for us, shed His blood for us, that our sin can be forgiven, and we receive Him so we can be justified. Yes, those definitely is the gospel. Those are basic gospel. But what we are here this week, want to fellowship with you, is not just the basic gospel that meets man's need. But the High Gospel is also meets God's need. Have you realized that God also has a need? Even this statement may be a little bit troublesome to some of you. God does have a need. God has His heart's desire. He has His pleasure. Just as you have some desire, have some pleasure, and you need, this is a need, needs to be met. Otherwise, you will not be happy, and you will not be satisfied. And man was created in God's image. Man also has such a man has such a pleasure and desire, just shows that God has this desire and pleasure. God has a need. We will see how His need can be met. Okay, how about we go to message one? Let's read the title together.
Man is the meaning of the universe.
Hallelujah, man. How about read it with a little more excitement here? And that was not bad, but it can be better. Okay? How about we emphasize the word man?
Man.
Hallelujah! One more time.
Man.
is the meaning of the universe. How big is the new universe? It's grand. It's massive. But without man, the universe had no meaning. It's just, I'm not sure, masses of gas, inorganic things flying around, orbiting, and no meaning. Man is the meaning of the universe. Roman numeral 1. How about we all read that together? I want to draw attention for on the first three words of this first Roman numeral. From God's Word. Okay, what are we touching this week? Everything that we touch this week is from God's Word. It's not from your textbooks. It's not from your ideas. And it's not from, you know, circular concept. And how about we all turn our attention from your ideas, from my peculiar thoughts, from your wild imagination. Just let's simplify ourselves, focus ourselves, restrict ourselves in God's Word. Are you settled with God's Word? Amen. Amen. That's good. From God's Word, we see the center of, we see that the center of God's universe is man. This is a big thing. Yeah, man is the center of God's universe. How about we have brothers read A. Yeah, Roman numeral 1 wants to show us that why man is the center of God's universe. Point A shows us that first reason why man is the center of God's universe. Because man has a spirit. And the spirit of man is for God. That's why man became the center. Heaven is for the earth. You know, all the rain, all the snow. For what? For the earth. The earth needs that, right? But what are the earth? What is the earth for? For the living organism, right? And there are many. But ultimately, all these are for man's existence, for man's enjoyment, for man's need. But what is man for? Man is for God. And how can man be for God? Man has a spirit. And we will see a little more later how the spirit of man was formed. But in every human being, regardless of your culture or your background, your education, every human being has a spirit. That means every human being has a capacity to sense God, to realize things of God, to receive God, to have fellowship and contact with God, and to enjoy God. This is why man became the center of God's universe. And B, how about sisters? Wow, this is big. Amen. So this is another reason why man became the center of God's universe. Because on man and upon man, God entrusted His eternal purpose. Praise the Lord. This is weighty thing. This is something that is very crucial. You may not know it. People may not realize it. But that's why we need to come back to the Word of God. Because the Word of God revealed it to us. How about I read a few verses, including Zechariah 12:1. Maybe can how about Isaac? Can you read Zechariah 12:1? And then Elijah reads 2 Timothy 1:9. And when you find it, can you stand up? Yeah.
The burden of the word of Jehovah concerning Israel.
Amen.
Thus declares Jehovah.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Form the spirit of man within him. The importance of man's spirit is the same as the heaven and the earth. Okay, good.
2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling.
Amen.
Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He called us according to his own purpose. Yeah, I haven't come to what God's purpose is. But anyway, God has a purpose. And man is an object where God's purpose was rest upon. And the word in here, it says fully. God has fully entrusted man. He didn't entrust man with just 70% and 30% some other creature. But fully. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. I want to go on to next Roman numeral point. How about together on this one? How about one more time?
Man is the center of God's eternal purpose.
In Roman numeral 1, you see that, we have seen that man is the center of God's universe. Roman numeral 2 brings us to another attention, that man is also the center of God's eternal purpose. Wow, we have a dual center here. Hallelujah for man. Right? Man, not just the center of God's universe, but man also is the center of God's eternal purpose. Yeah, Ephesians 3:11 clearly indicate that God has an eternal purpose. Our God is not an arbitrary God, random God, social God, but he is a God with a definite purpose. And this purpose is unchangeable. That's why it is eternal purpose. Nothing can deter, change, alter his eternal purpose. He's so firm, so definite, and he's going to get his purpose accomplished. And the Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, I just want to briefly impress you with this. God has a purpose. You know, when the Lord Jesus as a man came to the earth, he was preaching the gospel from city to city, village to village. Why he was doing that? He was doing it according to God's purpose. Paul, he was called by God according to God's purpose. And we, according to Romans 8:28, says all things work good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Brothers and sisters, we have been called according not to your smartness, not according to your deeds, not according to your grades, but we have been called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. God has a purpose. We are called because of his purpose. But what is this purpose? God has a purpose. Now you're convinced. I hope that you at least have some assurance that God does have a purpose. But God is not a very straightforward that, you know, let me tell you clearly what is my purpose. And let me read you some verses from like Ephesians 3:9 said that, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things. And Colossians 1:26 that the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to his saints. He has a purpose, but he hides this purpose in his heart as a secret, as a mystery. Job, realizing that there is something in God, but it was not the time. Sorry, Job. It's good for you to realize that. Indeed, there is, but it's not time for me to reveal my secret. Brothers and sisters, aren't you glad we are living at this age where the Bible has been accomplished? God's purpose, God's heart is fully opened up to us. Sorry, Joe. But anyway. But he didn't keep it too long. But of course, it was quite long, actually. Not until the New Testament time, he revealed this to his holy apostles. Through his Spirit, into man's spirit. Again, that's why you see why our human spirit is so important. We need to see what we are covering here this weekend from God's word and in our spirit. Amen. Your mind doesn't quite work here. We need to exercise our spirit. Doesn't quite weave into your logic here. We need to need something more. Our spirit. Oh Lord, our spirit. The deepest part of your being. That part that have a contact with God. Has the ability to contact God. To sense God. To touch God. To realize God. Oh, our spirit. I'm a man. And I'm a man with a spirit. Okay, point A. How about have brothers read that?
God is a God of purpose, having a will of his own pleasure. He created all things for his will, that he might accomplish and fulfill his purpose.
Amen. God does have a purpose, but he was not revealed for quite some time. He did not reveal this purpose for quite some time. But nonetheless, based on what was revealed, when we look back into the scripture, we realize, actually, you can see God's purpose embedded everywhere. Even as early as Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, the seed of God's eternal purpose was sown there. So Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is not just about God's creation. Actually, it is the hidden, quote-unquote, sneaky way for God to reveal his purpose. So with your logic mind, with your curious thoughts, try to understand God's creation by flipping chapter 1 and 2 of Genesis. You realize, yeah, that is not adequate to explain and to satisfy your curious heart about God's creation. Because it is not for that purpose it was written. It was for hidden, sneaky way to reveal his eternal purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sisters. Praise the Lord. Man is the climax. Man is the climax. And the center of God's creation. Here I would like to present to you 9 points. In particular, how man really be such a... I really want to uplift our realization and our view of man.
Yeah.
Man is not animal. If you think that man is animal, then you will take animal as a pattern. You look at how animal behave, and that's how you will behave. But don't be convinced by that. Man has, yeah, that is biology. Okay, but again, God's word.
Amen.
We're not, I'm not here teaching you biology tonight. God's word.
Amen.
Well, first point, you just look at the order of how God's created, the order in recorded in Genesis chapter 1, you realize that man was the last item, the final item of God's creation. You know, first God restored the air, the sky, right? And then the water and the earth. And then he brought in some life elements. From the lowest level, gradually, to the higher level. From the life, the plant life, like vegetable, grass, trees. And these are life, but life with very low consciousness. Or not even, they don't even have much consciousness. And then gradually, you know, to have a life of the animal. Right? The fish, the bird, the beast, the creeping things. But even all this has been created. That is still not God's ultimate. Not the climax. The climax is man. So that is the first point. To help you to realize why man is so important. So high, so valuable. So awesome. In God's view. And second is that when God made man, again, whoever has Genesis 1:26, can you turn it on? Turn to that page. And we want to read it together. I will refer to this verse quite a bit tonight. It's good to read it. I know a lot of us are very familiar with this verse, but just let's enjoy it.
Amen.
Amen. Genesis 1:26. How about read it together? And God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So, point number two is that, from the phrase, "let us," that indicates that that is a conference. That was a meeting, the discussion among the triune God in his Godhead to do something. When God, when the previous creating other items, never mentioned about, you know, "let us." That means their decision was made. They came to a definite decision, "let us." So man was not random. Man was after a conference that was held in the Godhead, of the in the Trinity, came up with this decision. That is more important than any kinds of decision. God involved in this decision. Number three, is triune God are involved with this decision. It was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The whole Trinity is involved. Okay? Hallelujah for the triune God. creating the tripartite man. Number four, this man was made according to God's image and likeness. Yeah. So we are God's kind. And if you look carefully, this verse, verse 26, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. When God created other items, other animals, he said according to their kind, according to its kind. But here, that's why I said man is not animal. Man doesn't even according to his own kind. According to this verse, man is according to God's kind. It's according to our image, which is God himself. Our likeness, right? This is what makes man so special. Amen. And point five. And God formed. How God created man? God formed man. That is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in man, right, the breath of life. And God did not form lions. He did not form, you know, tiger. He just speak them into being. But God did not speak man into being. He formed man. That means he's really very involved, personally involved, closely involved. Nelson, come here, brother. Look at this brother. He's handsome, isn't he? Amen. Look at that. God carefully formed man. He purposely put the eyebrows on top of the eyes. What if he put the eyebrow underneath the eyes? How'd that look like? It doesn't look good. But I tell you, what happened? When he sweat, his eyes will get burned right away. But because of the eyebrow, at least he can, you know, the sweat go down here. Have you ever considered that, brother? How God formed us in a particular way? And look at his nose. And look at your nose. You can't look at it, but anyway. Why the holes are facing down? What if the nose facing up? Have you ever considered that? That doesn't look too good. But I tell you, when it's rain, where they get to? You got drowned. You don't need to be drowned in the water. You already get drowned just because of rain. Oh, you need to praise God. Boy, don't you like man? Amen. That's good, brother. Oh, the details that he involved in forming man is amazing. Okay. That help you to appreciate yourself more? Amen. Okay. And he also breathed, number six, he breathed into his nostril the breath of life. The breath of life, it is what formed man's spirit within. The breath of life that came out from God's mouth, the breathe into man's nostril that formed man's spirit. The part that is very close to God, it is not from the dust, but it's from God. From God's very being into man's innermost being to form man's spirit. So that men have the capacity to receive God, to have fellowship with God, and to contact God, to contain God. Amen. And number seven, You know what? In Genesis 1:31, God said, very good. Well, Elijah said, very good. He said, very good. I may not agree with it. Right? And Sam can say, very good. I may not fully agree. But how about God said, very good? We better say, amen.
Amen.
It's God's evaluation. Very good. Okay, number 8. God, after he created man in Genesis 1:31, he rested. That means he has a big accomplishment. At least phase one in his plan, in his purpose of man. That was a great accomplishment. That God can rest. He rests is not because he's tired. He rests because he is satisfied. He has a sense of fulfillment. He has a sense of accomplishment. And also, in Exodus 31:17, referring to man, after man was created, he not only rested, but also refreshed. Man became God's refreshment. Have you imagined that? We can refresh God? You know, brother, Garen, come on here. You know, just imagine. God, this is Adam, the first man that God created. You know, God, just look at him. It's my image. It's just, when I look at him, I'm reflecting myself. Wow. God is keep smiling. Wow, just like. Very good.
Very good.
So good. So refreshing. Wow. That's good. I don't know. I think what I can illustrate is still much shorter, fell short of what really God felt in his heart. That is his heartbeat. That is his dream. Amen. And also, lastly, point 9 in Genesis 1:26, God also entrusted man with his dominion, with his authority. Okay. And for this, I think that's good enough. We just quickly read through the points between brothers and sisters. Point B, under point B is 1, 2, 3. We alternate. How about brothers first? Okay, sisters. Okay, brothers.
After God created man, he rested because he was satisfied.
Amen. Point C, I will read that. God created a corporate man to express himself with his image and to represent him by exercising his dominion over all things. God did not create many men. He created a corporate man. Adam is a corporate man. And God desires that these men, not just as individuals, of course, men eventually multiply, but his desire is that even though man can multiply, but man needs to be built into a corporate entity, which we will see in tomorrow's message. That is the church.
Amen.
Church has a one new man.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think it is really important here that we also see that man was made as a vessel to contain God.
Amen.
Right? I mean, God on the one hand was outside of man, in the Garden of Eden, appreciating him. Wow, man. But on the other hand, He wanted to enter into this man.
Yeah.
He wanted to fill this man. So that this man, filled with God, would express him. And then this man would subdue his enemy. God has an enemy. His name is Satan. He's the creepy things. He's the biggest creep of them all. That's there in Genesis 1:26. Remember, he came to man as a serpent. Creepy, right? Do you hate the creep Satan?
Yes.
Amen. Well, we've been given dominion over him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Of course, Adam failed. But we'll look at that in a moment. Actually, I want to step back just a second, because as our brother was sharing, we're speaking from God's word, but also not just his written word. God is speaking to us as the living word tonight. And when you hear these phrases, man is the meaning of the universe. Man is at the center of my eternal purpose. We should hear God speaking to us. I mean, just consider for a moment. The sisters will appreciate this illustration. You know, what if you're Prince Charming, you know, sisters, right? Prince Charming. He came up to you and said, "Oh, you're the meaning of my universe." I mean, you're the center. Without you, everything is empty. Oh, right, sisters? Boom, 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 right? Oh, I mean, that's what the Lord's saying to us tonight.
Yeah.
He's not just saying it in a doctrinal way. He's speaking to you. He's calling you to his eternal purpose. This is how he's coming to us tonight. So college students, wake up! I hope you wake up. Can you hear him calling? Love me. Seek me. Open your vessel to me. I want to fill you. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen?
Amen?
You know, even we need to have a little turn tonight. How about we all just declare, "Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you." Okay. How about we read point D together? Strongly. The Bible reveals man in three stages. First, the God created man in creation. Amen. So man in three stages. God created man in his image, with his dominion, as a vessel to contain him so that he could be expressed and represented on the earth. Right? But Satan captured man. Adam failed. We're all failures in Adam. Okay? And Satan captured us. But, praise the Lord, Christ! Hallelujah, Christ! Where Adam failed, Christ prevailed.
Amen.
And this one accomplished redemption for all of us so that we could enjoy being in God's eternal purpose today.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Brother Brian, could you read to us Psalm 8? I just feel like you're not probably that familiar with Psalm 8. I don't know, I wasn't. But if you could read it to us with an exercised spirit, that'll really pave the way for the rest of my speaking. Amen. Lord, speak through us. Lord, speak to us right now as our brother reads the word. Amen.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, Psalm 8. O Jehovah, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Amen.
You who have set your glory over the heavens, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have established strength because of your adversaries.
Amen.
To stop the enemy and the avenger. When I see your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is mortal man that you remember him? and the Son of Man, that you visit him.
Amen.
You have made him a little lower than angels and have crowned him with glory and honor.
Amen.
For you have caused him to rule over the works of your hands. Amen. And have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, as well as the beasts of the field, the birds of heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. What a psalm. Okay, amen. Now let's look at D1. How about we read that together? After the psalmist in Psalm 8 turned his view from the messy earth to the bright heavens, he turned his view from the moon and the stars in the heavens back to man on this earth. Amen. Okay. Amen. Lord Jesus. They're actually here in two turns that we all need to make tonight. Amen? Two turns. One is to what? The heavens, right? And then there's another turn that is back to man on the earth, okay? Well, Psalm 8 was written by David, the king. And it comes after, of course, 3 through 7, which he also wrote. And when you look at those previous psalms, what you see is a messy situation, a messy earth. I mean, his enemies are pursuing him. He is praying. He is seeking the Lord, if you read all those. But, I mean, even in his prayers, he's scared. He's scared of what is around him. He sees his problems, and his prayers address his problems. One of them is like, Lord, knock the teeth out of my enemy. You know? Messy situation, a messy earth. But, well, and then when we come to Psalm 8, we see that it takes place at in the nighttime. Did you see that? The moons and the stars. But on earth, it's dark. Don't believe me? Go outside. It's dark. Brothers and sisters, the age we live in today is a messy earth. And it's a dark age. It's a dark age. And we need to have a turn. But this, here in the psalm, and what David was going through is one thing, but how about us? Just, can you come up here, Josh? Amen. Yeah, put all that down. You're not going to need that. You just need to look like Josh. Amen. Look at Josh. Amen. Okay. You know, just stay here. You'll be here a bit. You know, this age we live in right now, I mean, what kind of week did we all have? Messy! I mean, you just have to be awake to realize how horrible the situation is right now. Who wasn't affected by the elections this week? Well, praise the Lord, you weren't. But, man, I was. I don't know. I mean, if it wasn't, anyway. I mean, it's just a messy situation. If you're on one of the campuses in California, you probably heard people protesting, right? Cursing. There's people rioting. It's a messy situation because people are losing hope. They can't see. Things are in satanic chaos. Okay, you might not care about that. I don't know if you do. It doesn't really matter. But all of you are college students, and you all care about midterms. Now that's a messy earth. Oh, the anxiety. Oh, the anxiety. Actually, I doubt many of you came in here, whoa, college conference, praise the Lord, I'm going! It was probably like, I don't know if I should, I got these midterms. Oh, the midterms! Anxiety. Am I going to get a good grade? Am I going to get a good job? Am I going to find a spouse? A place to live? How am I going to pay my tuition? College students, be honest. even your room's a mess. Be honest. Well, maybe not all of you. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's a parable, and this is where you come in. I just wanted here for everyone to look at you. There's a parable in Luke 13 of a bent double woman. So all these things that I was explaining to you, start bending over. Oh, the messy earth. What do you see down there? Say the ground. What?
The ground.
Okay. The messy earth. You know, if all you're looking at is the earth, the messy situation, what do you... You're miserable. This is pitiful. In that parable, the Lord Jesus comes to her. And he sees the situation. It says that she had a spirit of infirmity. I mean, she was possessed by a demonic spirit. The Lord even says that Satan had bound her for 18 years. Demon possession is one thing. Maybe none of you are demon possessed. But I guarantee all these things that I was talking about have been bending you low. Be honest. You know when you're down here, you're a complainer. You're a whiner. How can man express God like this? How can he have dominion over Satan when Satan has him by the neck? But we were not called to this. We were called to express God. We're called to represent God. So how did the psalmist do this? How did the psalmist do this? This psalm, you know, we have to look up. This psalm starts with him calling on the name of Jehovah. Amen. And praising him. Amen. Oh Lord, amen. Our Lord, amen. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Amen. We need to look up. We need to look to God. Amen. Amen. That's good for now. I might get you later. We need to look to God. The heavens represent God. The heavens are bright. And they're orderly. All those stars are in order. The moon is shining bright. God is bright. God is in control. Jesus is Lord. Over all the earth. His name is excellent. When you're looking down, nothing's excellent. Well, when you look at him, his name is excellent. Praise the Lord. We all need to make this first turn. Tonight, are you looking at him? Are you looking at him? Call on his name. Praise the Lord. If you want to stand up right now and praise him, feel free. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Jesus is Lord! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! If it was all about our good pleasure, we're done. There's a second turn. The second turn is back to man. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Have a turn right now. Wow. You know, tell your neighbor, you make God happy. You were created. Say this to your neighbor. You are created to express God. You are created
to represent God. We're vessels to contain God. Oh, do you see how valuable man is? I mean, now, when you're with your friend, come here, Josh. When you're with your friend and he's bent over, come here. And he's bent over and he's complaining about human life and all his problems. You see him differently. You go, hey, I understand what you see there. But I know why you're not happy. Ask me why. Well, because you're empty. You see, you've been trying to fill yourself with all these things down here. And you weren't created for those things. God created you with a spirit to contact, receive, contain God. So that you could express God and have dominion over all these problems. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen, okay. But why do we sit by our classmates and not have one thought for them? Not God's feeling for them. Because we're busy staring at the ground. Oh, let's have the first turn. And then let's have the second turn. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Let's continue. Amen. Hallelujah for time. Amen. Okay. Let's read D together. Amen. D2. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. Let's read B together. Sorry. Hold on. Let's read A and B together. Go. Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So the first thing there is that God remembered man. Okay. He said, what is mortal man? Okay. Mortal man is the Satan captured man. Mortal means dead or dying or gonna die. Mortal means that you are a dead man. We're all captured by Satan because in Genesis 3, he injected Adam with sin. And this sin caused Adam to die. And there's so many dead people right now bound in Hades, all captured. Maybe you're captured. Anyway, where Adam failed, Christ prevailed. See, God remembered man. Then he visited man. And that visitation is God becoming a man, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. And this man fulfilled God's eternal purpose. You know, Hebrews 2, 6 through 8, it quotes Psalm 8. And then it interprets who this visited man is. Says in Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who is made a little inferior to the angels because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Oh, do you see Jesus? Crowned with glory and honor. This implies his whole process, the long journey. God became a man. This man lived a human life. And throughout this human life, he expressed God. And he ruled. He ruled over every human problem. He ruled over Satan. He ruled over sin. And he went to the cross to redeem all of man. Took all our sins up there. Right? Praise the Lord. Upon himself and died as a man. Hallelujah. And destroyed the devil as a man on the cross. So that he could go down into Hades and open the gates. Amen. In resurrection,
Christ overcame death and set all the captives free. None of us here are captives tonight because we love Christ. And that's not where the journey ends. Our Christ, who's crowned with glory and honor. Just think about that. A crown is for reigning, for dominion. Glory is God expressed. This man, in resurrection, became a life-giving spirit. So that his life could become our life. Christ, the life-giving spirit, is with your spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
You have no reason not to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And he is in your spirit.
Amen.
What a visit by God to man. Okay, believe it or not, that's not my burden. My burden comes here. Lord Jesus, thank you for time. Amen. Let's all read C together strongly. Oh, he is with us all the time, right inside our spirit. He's with us all the time. We just need to enjoy his visitation. He became the life-giving spirit so we could enjoy his visitation all the time. Anywhere, any place, any time. No matter how you feel. He's right in your spirit. Oh, just have to have that turn. Turn to the Lord. Amen? Okay, how can... Oh, time. Amen. We love you, Lord. I'm going to give you three practical ways to enjoy his visitation. You can write these down. The first one, okay, when God comes to us, he comes to us in a personal way. We all need to spend personal time with the Lord. There's no substitute. This isn't just a message of doctrines. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you, no matter what you're going through. He wants to come. You bent over? No problem. He comes to you. Oh, he wants to meet you right there and turn you to him. Sometimes, you know, we just need to spend time. You slow down. Stop. Spend time with him every day. Practically, this means we need to spend time in the Bible, in the Word of God every day. Did you read your Bible this week? Amen?
Amen?
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, if you're not, you're missing his visitation. And this is the most intimate one. This is when you and him can talk about anything you want to. And no one's there to hear. It's fantastic. You really sense his love. You really sense his heart. But this world rushes on, right? And it makes us hurry so much that we miss all these precious moments with the Lord. I'll give you a hymn. Tomorrow morning, you're going to get to practice having personal time with the Lord. Tomorrow morning, you could sing this song to the Lord. It's hymn 643. If you have a hymnal, 643. And I'm just going to read to you the second stanza. Take time to behold him. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shalt see. Amen. Oh, we just need to spend time with this one. Okay, the second one is in twos and threes with our Christian companions. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where there are two or three gathered into my name, there am I in their midst." Brothers and sisters on a college campus, come together in twos and threes every day, and you will experience the Lord's visitation. He will be in your midst, and this will be a practical salvation to you. On Tuesday, election night, I had a brother come over to my house. I was all anxious.
I was praying, trying to touch the Lord myself. But this brother came over, and he was having a bad time too. And we just looked at each other, and we said, hey, let's take some of the Bible, some verses, and let's pray over them. We ended up praising the Lord. We got out of ourselves. Look to your neighbors right now. Tell them, I need you. I need you so I can experience the Lord's visitation. Okay, also the meetings of the church. Brothers and sisters, maybe you meet in the homes. Maybe you go on the Lord's Day. You go to the Lord's table. I have a verse for you there. Hebrews 2:12 saying, I will declare your name to my brothers in the midst of the church. I will sing hymns of praise to you. The Lord will enter into all our meetings together. He wants to visit us. If we give him a meeting like we are here at this conference, he will visit us. We are gathering people, and he's gathering us together. Oh, he's gathering us together. Don't miss the meetings. You know, Thomas missed a meeting. The Lord visited them in that meeting. You know, Thomas in John 19 missed the meeting. And God, Christ, Jesus, in resurrection, came and breathed the Holy Spirit into all those brothers. And then he missed it. He missed God's visitation. But praise the Lord, he came the next week because he heard from the brothers. And then he got the Lord. So if you missed a meeting, go to the next one. You'll get the Lord. Okay. Okay, so all these visitations, they're wonderful, right? Oh, they're wonderful. Okay, I'm not done though. Amen. They're wonderful. And they're not just for our enjoyment. They're to fulfill God's eternal purpose. And this is where I'll need your help, brothers. I need some help pulling those out. And see, when he visits us, we enjoy him. But he's a life-giving spirit to dispense himself into us. Okay, you're all distracted. We'll just set this up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can I get three brother volunteers? How about you three right here? Right here. Yeah. Sorry, Josh. I just used you too much. Amen. Okay. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay, I need you to hold these, Shogo. Amen. This will be quick. Stand over here by the towels and hold it up high. Praise the Lord. Okay. I think there was, oh, yeah. Jonathan, can you work this flashlight for me? Okay, it's really bright, so don't point it at anyone. And, oh, sorry. Not the strobe setting. Thank you, Lord. Okay, you see that? The bottom one right there, okay? And then you are going to be Christ, the life-giving spirit. Amen. Okay, you stand over here. You're going to have to hold it away from you. Okay, this is man, okay? I have three vessels here. Can you feel this one? This one here is man's human spirit, okay? Do you see man's human spirit? Look at your human spirit. It's empty. Okay, but you believed into the Lord Jesus, and you were regenerated. Over here, over the towel. Yeah, all the way. Yeah, yeah. Okay, you got to be a good pourer. Praise the Lord. See, he visited you, and your spirit got filled. Okay, this is your soul. Man is a vessel made of three parts. Okay? Right? And this is your body. Your body contains your soul with your mind, emotion, and will. And then your soul contains your spirit, which contains Christ. And now, how about you put some light on that spirit there, right underneath? Yeah. Oh! Praise the Lord! So Christ is the life-giving spirit, and he's in your spirit, okay? He's in your spirit. But you need to enjoy his visitation, because when he visits you, he dispenses into you. Okay, so you're the visiting life-giving spirit, okay? Aim for the spirit. That's where we contact God. So you get up in the morning, you read the Bible. A little dispensing. And you see the overflow into your mind, emotion, and will? Oh, do you see it? It overflowed. Okay, a little more. Now you meet with some brothers at lunchtime, and you pray for one another. Whoa, a little dispensing. Oh, and then you go to your home meeting that night. Go. Now a lot more. Yeah, wow. Now your soul's getting filled up with Christ. You express God.
A little more every day. We must enjoy his visitation for his dispensing. Okay, keep going. This is our church life. This is the meaning of our human life. We need to enjoy Christ. Eventually, when Christ comes, his life will even saturate our mortal bodies. And we'll be taken into glory with him. Amen. To be just the same as he is. Amen. Okay, go. Take us to the heavens. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, what can Satan do? What can Satan do to a man that's filled with God? Nothing. Okay, we're done. I don't know what to do. Okay, put that down. Turn off the light. Go back to your seat. Oh, amen. Dear saints, dear brothers and sisters, God's visitation causes a saturation in our being. Oh, that transforms us and makes us glorious and victorious. And you know what? We go to our college campuses, experience this there, and you'll see man thirsty for God. You know, that was Gatorade. Christ is the real thirst quencher. You need to go filled with the Lord every day and quench man's thirst. This makes God happy. This is how God fulfills his eternal purpose with man.
Amen.
Okay, I'm done. Amen. How about we all stand up? There's a focus. Declare the focus together. Just stand up. Get up. Stand up. Declare it with your spirit.
Amen.
And then pray with the person next to you. And then we're going to give you a chance to overflow up here, because the speaking is not done tonight.
Amen.
The Lord wants to speak through all of you.
Man is the meaning of the universe, because he is the center of God's eternal purpose. Man is the meaning of the universe, because he is the center of God's eternal purpose.
Man is the meaning of the universe.
Amen.